This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Have you finalized what CMT is going to be today at 11:30?
I did.
Nice.
I got a bunch of different CMTs. I like the one we're doing today.
Now, is this like topical with the signing of Cam Newton that it'll be some kind of a quarterback? So you always do that.
No,
you're very good with that.
No, not quarterback centric. I feel like we've done that. We've done a lot of quarterback stuff. We did off-season signing stuff. This is going to be an all sports topic.
Oh.
You said you wanted like a menagerie of sports in one of these. So
yeah,
I love
that.
All sports. Not just players, sports teams as well.
Teams.
Teams, players, coaches.
Really?
GMs.
How much thought and work would you say you put into CMT?
Like, Cassie's been helping me.
Really?
We started on Saturday. We had some time just sitting around, so we were going back and forth on what to do.
I love it.
She's very involved.
I love the fact that on Saturday afternoon, they're hanging around the pool, and it's like, listen, we got CMT Monday at 11:30. Can you help me out here, Cass? I love it.
Yeah, what she does too, and this is why I love her, is that she'll come up with a topic and we'll go, back and forth, and then she needs to make phone calls to see if it's a good topic. Call her sister, ask her questions.
I love it.
Very involved, yeah.
That's so in depth. All right. So, Mets Yankees, 60-man roster of who they're going to have at spring training and who's going to be available for the season is out. Where do you guys want to start? The Mets or the Yankees?
It's up to Chris. Chris wants to start the Yankees. You can start Yankees.
Chris, you want to start with your Yankees?
I always want to talk about the Yankees, but I know you guys are Mets fans, and I want to be sensitive to what you guys
are. We're going to give each team equal time. It's going to be like a political debate. Everybody gets their time. So let's start. Let's start with the Yankees. So now Herman is not on here, and he's allowed to be activated when they get to the postseason because his suspension continues for 63 more games, I believe. Right? So he missed all of the regular season of 60, first three games of the postseason, and then he's eligible to return. But you want to run through some of these position players for the Yankees, catchers, pitchers, all of it?
Let's do it, Dave.
All right, so catchers, Yankees have Higashioka, Ian Netta, Eric Kratz, Max McDowell, Gary Sanchez, and Josh Tolle. Is he the former Met Tolle?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not so good. But
depth piece.
Yeah. Well, I guess God forbid something happened. I mean, could you imagine? And this is the thing that's terrifying. What happens if you have three catchers that test positive for COVID?
Then you got a problem.
Yeah,
you got a major problem.
Yeah, you got a huge problem. I mean, that's in any sport, though. I mean, that's in football with the quarterback room,
sure.
Offensive line. I mean, that's you name it. Yeah, that's why the depth of these teams is important. And how many play? I mean, that's why. Look at the Yankees did last year, man. I mean, as disappointed as Yankees fans were that they didn't win a championship, I mean, to get through the regular season with all the injuries,
they were unbelievable.
Was ridiculous. It's kind of what concerns me about the Mets a little bit. I mean, depth of players that
mm-hmm.
is great, but when we
I didn't realize, and we'll get to the Mets in a couple minutes. I didn't realize there's another guy that's a DH that the Mets have brought in.
Yeah, we're loaded, flush,
load. The Mets could have three DHs. Let's continue with the Yankees for the moment, though. Your infielders. Mm-hmm. And this must have slipped below the radar for me. Matt Duffy, who's a good player.
I didn't realize that either, Dave.
He's a nice player, Matt Duffy.
He's a nice player, championship pedigree, a career 282 hitter. I mean, that's a value add for the Yankees. I mean, this is a Brian Cashman type of move. Add veteran depth to your team when you realize that this is going to be an unprecedented season and a lot of different moving parts. You know, to have somebody that can help in terms of leadership, and being steady in the clubhouse, that's a good value add to me.
Yeah. Good job by the Yankees. He's a nice player. He can play anywhere, too.
Yeah.
I think he can play third, play first, play second. So you can really stick him anywhere in the infield. Estrada, Ford, Holder, LeMahieu, obviously, and then you have Torres, Urshela, and Voit. So that's the way you're – and then Andujar, Herrera, and Wade are the potential guys for the Yankees infielders.
So we're talking about Torres being a shortstop and LeMahieu playing second base?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those have got to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I see it. That's how I would look at it.
So who's going to be your third baseman? Duhar?
No, Urshela will start third.
Urshela.
So Duhar is going to play where?
And Duhar will, I mean,
wherever they need him to play if they want him to
play
back
first.
In the
he's, I mean, he's, yeah, I mean, he's been taking ground balls at first.
Outfield,
he's been taking work in, I mean, he's done work in left field. I don't know how that changes now because of the shutdown and everything else. But you give Urshela first crack, and then, you know, you have Andujar waiting in the wings.
But is Andujar an everyday guy somewhere?
I don't think at this point he
is.
No, because, I mean, where's he? I mean, again, I mean, we're sitting here joking about the Mets and the DH. Aaron Judge, they say, is healthy and he'll come back. But how much are you going to want to play Aaron Judge in right field?
And I don't trust that anyway. But we can get there when we get
especially
there.
If Hicks is back. I mean, if Hicks is back now and
well,
he's all healed up.
Yeah.
And he's all healed up. You have him in center field. I would imagine, you'd want Stanton in left and Judge in right to give you, you know, the most offensive punch. But if Judge can't play every day in right, you move Stanton to right. You got Gardner in left. Put Frazier in left. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Yankees have so many options, man.
Yeah, they have a ton of
It's almost sickening.
And you have Talkman you didn't even mention.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have Talkman. I mean, you go through it. I mean, look at the...
And Frazier.
I said Frazier. Their roster's ridiculous. You saw last year. You had Ford. You had Talkman. You name it.
Yep.
Kind of makes me sick.
Well, all right. It's okay.
Yankees you're a closet Yankees ton of fan anyway, man. It's cool. You can come home when you're ready.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. You know how much I love the Mets. I just like baseball.
We got him on the record saying he hopes the Yankees make it to the World Series.
Oh, that's just because I like talking baseball.
Well, you're going to have a lot of baseball to talk about.
Well, Rick, you said one time, Yankees fans, myself included.
Yeah,
we actually
did. That was
that
a bad
as a drop
one.
As well. I'm
that
just
was
saying.
A bad one.
That's just because I immerse myself in sports in sports talk, you know? Just put myself in the
so you would rather
in the shoes
a lot of
fans.
Slip-ups for a Mets fan, though. That's a lot of slip-ups.
Quite the foible. You would rather the Yankees go to the World Series, right? You would rather the Yankees go to the World Series and lose than get eliminated in the first round and then not talk baseball.
If the Mets were already out, yeah. Otherwise, we're not talking baseball.
Right.
You know how much I love baseball.
I know. I think we all do.
Both teams are out. We don't talk as much baseball as we should be.
Obviously.
So, there you go.
All right, Yankees outfielders. You mentioned a lot of them. Florial, Frazier, Gardner, Zach Granite, Hicks, Judge, Stanton, Talkman. Those are your Yankees outfielders.
If your name is Zach Granite, too, you can't be soft. Like, if you get hit with
a
pitch,
he must have been a linebacker in high school, don't you think?
Yeah, you shake that off. No emotion.
Right. You run through the wall.
Yeah, that's one of those names that comes with a lot of expectations.
It's a good name, though.
It's a tremendous... I mean, that's...
Zach Granite.
Awesome name. I mean, what is his nickname? Rock? Call him Rock?
Yeah. The Rock.
Oh, by the way, Milo loves because of that stupid Jumanji. Now his new thing is, do you smell what I'm cooking? That's what he says around the house. Do you smell what I'm cooking, Dad? I'm like, oh, my God, Milo. Yeah, I smell it.
He's very impressive.
I smell exactly. He told me yesterday in the pool, we're diving. He's got these new toys. His Nana sent them to dive around in the pool. So I'm like, okay, Milo, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to put them in the pool, and you're going to try to get all these toys in one breath. He goes, Dad, don't worry about it. I'm born for this. I was like, what? What do you mean you're born for this? Where do you get this?
You love
it. He comes like he's five.
Though. Yeah, it's great.
Where does he come up with this?
Though. It's great.
It's crazy.
It's great. All right, Yankees pitchers.
Speaking of great.
What do you want? You, I mean, there's about 400 on here. What do you want me to do? Run through the guys we know?
Which actually, to... I mean,
we can talk
the
about
the
guys that are going to be in the rotation.
Yeah.
Okay, let's focus, though. Focus for a quick second. We haven't talked about this. Big issue. Starting pitchers not, because of the shutdown, not enough time to ramp it back up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially
mm-hmm.
early on. They're not going to be at the point where they're going to give you tons of innings early on. And then the point that not a lot of people are talking about that's an important point is the new rule where your bullpen, you bring a guy in, he's got to face three batters.
I forgot about that.
I know you did.
I did. I mean, to be honest.
And how you handle that.
I forgot about that.
I mean, that's going to be, I mean, I know we say that, you know, being a baseball manager is maybe not the most important thing. I would say under these circumstances, with how you're going to handle your pitching staff and everything else, it's going to be very important.
The three batter will be very interesting.
Well, especially with how much you're going to have to go to your bullpen.
And that carries over from inning to inning? Or if you can face one batter in an inning and then that's
one batter
the
to finish
inning. You can face one batter in an inning, and if it goes to another inning, you can bring in a new starting pitcher.
Okay.
A new pitcher.
Yeah. So it just have to be if that inning continues. So if you bring a lefty specialist to face a tough left-handed hitter, and that lefty batter gets a base hit, then you have a dominant righty coming up, you're in big trouble now.
Yeah, you could be in one. Yeah,
right?
You could be in one. Yeah, I mean, the strategy involved in this is going to be, I mean, worth paying attention to say the very least.
Mm-hmm. It's weird that this is going to be added this year, though.
Yeah, this would probably be a year where I'd say, you know what? But again, it goes back to the relationship. You know, if I'm Tony Clark, I'm probably saying, hey, fellas, this might not be a rule we want to institute now. Let's give them, you know, let's give them something in return so we get this thing pushed back a year. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, that's
yeah. I mean,
that's a big change.
To institute that this year feels a little bit strange,
especially because your starting pitchers aren't really stretched out.
No,
they don't give you much length during a regular season when they have 6 weeks to get ready.
And the season and the game and everything is so off to begin with. It's 60 games. You got this bizarro extra inning rule. I don't know. It just feels like
you got no time to experiment with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to have, I mean, you have a couple exhibition games. You don't have preseason games or anything else.
No. It's not like you have a month worth of, you know, getting guys ready for this.
And you can't, it's not like something you can just try on the fly. Like, hey, you know what? We'll try this out, see if it works. There's only 60 games.
But doesn't it make sense to try it in an unconventional season as opposed to a regular season? Like, if you were ever going to experiment with something like that, wouldn't you want to try to use it in a year where everybody's essentially giving you a pass just because people want to see live team sports as entertainment?
I don't know if that's one of the rules that I would want to experiment with. I can understand the whole you know, runner on second base as much as I hate it, but you don't want to have, I mean, they've been toying back and forth with that rule anyway, and you can pose it as we want to protect the players, it's for their safety. I just don't, I mean, especially the Mets. I mean, we got a guy who's just, I mean, he's just, this is his first year managing the team. So you got the pandemic. No, it's not great for us at all. We're trying to, we got all these, I mean, hundreds of pages of protocols try to keep guys healthy. On top of it, you're trying to manage a, you know, your pitching staff and bullpen. Ugh. Nightmare.
But I guess
it's a lot.
But I guess I go back to the impetus for them to implement this new rule. They wanted to keep the game moving and they didn't want to have to deal with, okay, all of the pitching changes slowing down gameplay. And so, I mean, in an opportunity to have, when you have the opportunity because of the situation we're in with the pandemic, to have a few more eyeballs on your sport for at least a week or two, I think that that's one of those things that they look at as trying to capitalize on the situation. And I know it's going to be tough. It's going to put an extra degree of difficulty on things for all of the managers and for pitching staffs. But at the same time, it's not necessarily about them. It's about trying to put out the very best product that you can in a very difficult situation.
It always almost it for some reason, and you might be right, it always goes back to me feeling like baseball going back and forth this entire time about money and everything else, it was so ridiculous. I mean,
it was, man.
I mean, it's a sport that's trying all these different things to make the game more exciting, more enjoyable for its fans that they're losing. And you choose this opportunity when everyone's paying attention to have this kind of fight. I mean, how, it doesn't make any sense. It's not like the game was in a great place when you left it. You're trying to get gimmicky before the pandemic.
Yeah. No, this was the plan before this came out.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, I mean, the NFL is king. I mean, the NFL can do whatever they want. We still watch. Baseball wasn't in that spot.
I mean, Rick, you said it in the 10 o'clock hour, man. What baseball should have done is exactly what the NHL and the NHLPA are doing, which is working out the arrangements for this year, but also trying to work out and finalize a four-year extension on the current collective bargaining agreement. That's what they should have done. That way everybody has a little more security in terms of what this year is going to look like financially, but also what the future looks like.
Yeah, we're short-sighted. This is just one of those rules that's going to add. I mean, it's in what's going to be, I mean, who knows? I mean, between Buster Olney, I mean, he has his pessimistic view on how things are going to, you know, unfold and everything else. I mean, the level of difficulty to try to get this season in is going to be through the roof.
Really?
This is going to make keeping your pitching staffs healthy a lot harder.
Everybody
healthy. New rule. Well, I'm just saying with the new rule, though, just because with your starters not stretched out, what are they going to go, 3 or 4 innings?
Yeah, probably.
Your starter is going to be a glorified opener?
Well, who knows? It's going to be on pitches. That's the problem is you don't know. I mean, you're hoping it's that many innings. It's going to come down to how many pitches.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But you're going to have to be reliant on your bullpen in a season like this. And then to say that, okay, if a guy comes in, he's got to face at least 3 batters, mm-hmm. unless it's the end of an inning.
But isn't that good for the Yankees? Like, aren't the Yankees the team that, you look at the bullpen and say that they have the best in baseball?
I feel great about it, Dave. I mean, Aaron Boone has a lot of good options, but everybody doesn't have the glut of riches in the bullpen that the Yankees do.
Yeah, but how does that affect the availability, though, Dave? That's the other thing. You're talking about player safety. How does that affect the availability? If you got to get your if you got to get one of your relievers through three batters, you know, and he has an at bat where it's, you know, 10, 12 pitch at bat, and he throws, what, you know, 30 pitches to those three batters, 35 pitches to those three batters. Hey, what's his availability for?
You won't see him for 3 days.
Right? Like, how many days is he going to need off?
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen, you're right. My point is that when you look at, and I have the Yankees bullpen in front of me, I mean, the Yankees bullpen is better than probably any bullpen depth-wise, everything-wise in baseball. So maybe there's an advantage for them there. I mean, Chad Green and David Hale and Heller and Holder and Canely and Chapman and Britton. I mean, there's
and a lot of those guys can give you multiple innings, Dave. A lot of those guys have done that.
So. Yeah, they're not specialists. Weisiger. Yeah, you're not talking about specialists. I mean, you're talking about guys that can get lefties and righties up.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it's not necessarily advantage because the Yankees, I mean, their bullpen is stacked. I just mean as far as you're playing 60 games in 66 days. Like, how many times, if now all of a sudden you're forcing your bullpens to face three batters, what does that do for their, like, how many days in a row can you use them? Or can you use them back to, are they going to want to use them back-to-back days if you're trying to keep them healthy?
I would think probably not.
So that becomes interesting now.
Unless you have to, right? I mean, if you're 25-6, then you can kind of play however you want. If you're 15-15, you might have to use guys back-to-back days.
Yeah, but what do we say this entire time? Because it's a sprint, it's important to get off to a hot start.
Very important. Mm-hmm.
And because you don't have as much time to get ready, that's when you'd be most concerned about guys, you know, being injured. The beginning of the season wouldn't be the time to push it.
Mm-mm.
But you might feel like you have to push it because you don't want to get left behind.
Well, God forbid you're 1-4 through 5.
But I think
I'm serious.
I think early on in the season, you're going to have to push your bullpen guys a little bit, though, right? Just because you can't get but so many innings out of your starters. Like, to me, I guess an ideal strategy would be to push those bullpen guys a little bit more early, and then as your starters get stretched out, you have the opportunity to rest them as you gear up for the postseason.
If you're in a position where you can afford to do that.
Yeah, well, that's another story, but I guess, yeah, you're right. You're right, Dave.
But they're right. The idea would be to go 25-10 and say, we're going to get into the postseason. We're going to win this division. Now let's set it up so that everyone is maximized and fresh and ready to go when we get to October.
Well, you have the expanded roster too earlier on in the season. So you'll have more options as to what you can use.
So how many does it start with then to start the season?
30?
It's 30, 28, 26.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it starts with 30. But then, I mean, once you get to that point of the season where your starting pitchers are stretched out, now all of a sudden that's when analytics become something you got to talk about. Because it's not like, most teams aren't pushing their starters anyway because they'd rather get into their bullpens.
Right.
Like, outside of Gerrit Cole, Aaron Boone's, I'm sure he's going to be chomping at the bit to get to his bullpen. It's one of the, that's been one of the Yankees' biggest flaws, hasn't it? Going to the bullpen too much, allowing their starting pitchers to go as
managers are going to earn their money this year. I'm telling you,
exactly right. I mean, that's ultimately the point. Is that this was a position that said, how many times have you said, you know, a baseball manager is middle management? Not so much this year. You have a lot on his plate.
Tons. Because let's be fair. You can't afford to start out 3-11. You can't. You're done.
You can't
it is going to be exciting to watch the strategy of it all, though. Like because it is something that's different than what we're used to seeing.
It's going to have an NFL feel.
It will.
How about this, though? How about this, too? And I heard Bobby Valentine say this the other day. So if all of a sudden you're in the 10th inning, runner starts on second, he said every single time he would walk the first batter.
Okay.
To make it first and second.
To set up
so now
all
of a sudden.
Not a set up double play?
Well, no, not even just a double play. Now it's an easier out at third. So now if the second guy wants the bunt, it's a force out at third.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes that out easier.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, it's true, but if you get a successful bunt down, now you got second and third one out, and a base hit scores two.
Exactly right. Exactly. So it's going to be manager to manager. But I mean, I thought that was interesting that would be his strategy. I'm sure that would change.
But and he says that. But if his team scores two in the top of the inning, there's no way in the bottom of the inning he's going to walk the tying run on base.
It would change, yeah, and depending on who leads off the inning. You know, if it's a guy who's not really, I mean, equipped to bunt.
Sure.
If Giancarlo Stanton is leading off the 10th, are you going to, I mean, is he going to get a bunt down? You're not going to ask him to bunt anyway.
Now, pitchers are allowed to bat, right? Like, the Mets could put up a good bunting pitcher if they wanted to, I would imagine.
Yeah, you can pinch it with whoever you want.
Yeah.
And you can pinch run with whoever you want, but you lose, I mean, whoever you pinch.
Yeah, you lose
pinch
the,
run
the guy
for,
that's
he's
in the game,
out.
Of course.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah.
All right. A lot of thoughts going into it.
I mean, double switches, too, out of the National League. Because you got the DH.
Right.
It's going to be wild.
It's going to be fun.
Had they just kept their mouth shut, I think this is about the 60 games, even if it was 70, whatever they ended up with, had they not made this such a, you know, a public pissing match back and forth and turned so many fans off, the more you think about it, like, get past the bad taste in your mouth that was left by the negotiation. I mean, this is going to be pretty interesting stuff.
I'm excited anyway. Like, I was so turned off, and now they've figured out a way to play 60 games, hopefully, and now I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I know, but if you just did, I mean, if you did all the negotiating behind closed doors.
Yeah, but they can't help themselves.
I know, but I'm saying if they had, and you got to this point, and they had sold it the entire time, and it was COVID and health and safety and everything else. We just can't come. Kind of like what the NHL is doing behind closed doors. You don't hear much. I'm sure right. They're going. I mean, I'm sure it's heated and they're going back and forth. But if you were just left without knowing all that stuff, you were just left at this point with the 60 games. I mean, it's pretty exciting. Like, you wouldn't be, it's 60 games, but I think you'd be more focused on the positive of the 60 games than the fact that there's only 60 games.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. And I think by the time you start the first week of the season, I think a lot of that bad taste in your mouth will probably go away.
I agree with you.
So I'm all in. What happens if you fall in love with it?
At the sprint?
Yeah.
No, you're not going to see it again. I mean, that's...
No, of course not.
Too much money involved. I mean, look what people are watching right now. I mean, you can't... People are just dying for sports now. That UFC, by the way, on Saturday was awesome.
Yes, it was. That main event.
I mean, that was a
bloodbath.
Dude, the one, I don't even know how many punches and everything, elbows were involved. I mean, that one, I don't know if you can you call it a combination when it's more than like eight shots that he landed. But it was, dude, those guys are warriors. Just standing toe-to-toe beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, they were.
Then they had Dustin Johnson win a golf tournament. I mean, it's... Sports has been all right.
Trickling back. And what are we? We're 3 weeks from this weekend from the start of baseball.
Yeah, basketball's right around the corner.
Yep, 4 weeks. Yeah.
Who knows what happens?
If things go well, late July is going to be a wild time for sports.
Yeah, I mean, did you see the NBA schedule? How many games are on a day?
Yeah.
Is it five games a day?
And they're all standalone, right? So you can watch every game.
The televised ones, yeah.
Right.
The ones that will be on TV.
So...
You get a bunch of Lakers. You're going to get a bunch of Zion.
It's going to be fun and it's going to be weird.
What, the basketball?
It's just the whole feel is strange.
Yeah, but you won't realize that in the moment when you're watching it.
No, I can't wait for sports to come.
I think you might though. It might look a little different though. It's going to look more like a summer league game than it would an NBA regular season game or a playoff game.
Yeah, but I felt that way about like when I watched the KBO initially. I'm like, this is going to be weird without fans. But then all of a sudden, like. A couple innings into it, you just kind of focus on what's going on in the field and you kind of just forget about the fact that there's no fans.
And I got to imagine they're not going to be showing a lot of crowd stuff, like of the crowd area, right? They probably want to minimize that.
Yeah, I'm sure that, yeah, that's not going to be what they're focused on.
Right. So they'll focus on the bench. They'll focus on the gameplay.
I wonder if you could do it somehow where whoever's televising the game could send out like a phone number or something through the computer where the crowd noise from your computer would be translated to the actual game.
Meaning?
Kind of like what they did with the NFL draft.
Right.
Where they had the people, you know, reacting
like,
and
cheering.
Yeah, like if they gave you a number to call.
Can you sync that up though? Because isn't it like a little delay that you're watching?
I'm sure they could. I mean, they know better than us. I mean, except me, I could probably hack into the system and do it myself.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you're unbelievable. Friday, you're done with technology. Oh, period. And now today, you could hack into the Major League Baseball network.
Well, that's because the tummy issue was only a one time thing.
Right.
If we're still talking about
are you
tummy
feeling
issue.
Better? By the way, are we past the thought that maybe you have something terrible?
Yeah, I'm much more solid. Yeah, I think it was the dried fruit. I think I overfibered myself.
All right. Let's take a break.
All right, boys. Cuddleberry Trash for this Monday. Dave, quick question. Let me ask, as far as level of importance,
yes.
we're going to get to the Mets, I'm sure, right? Level
of
importance. Most important player on the Mets this season, you think?
I mean, I think you could argue. I mean, there's a bunch, actually. I think DeGrom is someone that you could talk about with that. I think Edwin Diaz is someone you could discuss with that.
Betances is really important.
I think Cano is very important.
I feel like Cespedes' ability to play left field is going to be really important.
I think there's a lot of questions with the Mets. Like, the Mets could either be bad or really, really good, depending on some of these players.
If they're right. I mean, if they're right. Like, if Cespedes is healthy, if Betances is healthy.
If they're right.
I don't disagree with you. I just think in order to get the best out of this lineup on a consistent basis, Cespedes is going to have to be able to play left field.
Mm.
He's going to have to be.
You have so many DHs.
You have so many DHs, but on top of that, I mean, you bring in Mariznick, you got Nimmo, you got Conforto, you got Davis, you got McNeil.
You know,
you
I got didn't Lowry. Realize that they brought in Eduardo Nunez is on this team now.
But I mean, offensively, you're so like, offensively and defensively, if you could get Cespedes in left, depending on what they're going to do with Mariznick, I mean, he's probably your best defensive center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Conforto in right, even if you got Nimmo in center, if you can get Cano to DH on a regular basis and have McNeil play second.
Yeah, if you can get Cano to DH, it'd be a tremendous advantage.
Because I would like to find a way to get J.D. Davis in the lineup.
I'd like to see Dom Smith in the lineup, too.
But I would like to get, I mean, J.D. Davis in the lineup would be nice.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, maybe they split time.
How much time are you splitting in a 60-game season? That's the problem.
Maybe J.D. Davis goes up against the lefties and Dom Smith the righties.
Well, Dom Smith, you don't want to play in left field. Let's face
no.
it. Come on.
No, I'm saying it's DH for these guys.
God, there's so
I
many
really
DHs.
I don't really love J.D. Davis in left field either.
No, I don't like him. No, I don't like either of those guys in left field. That's why I keep saying. I mean, if Cespedes can play left,
it would be a big advantage.
Be a big advantage. All right, here we go. Cuddlebury Trash.
DHs. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. I've decided today's CMT is going to deal with pressure. And what I mean by that is most pressure for this upcoming season to win.
To win.
To win. Okay? So we're going to start to keep with baseball. I know it's only 60 games, but there's still going to be some pressure because there is going to be a World Series. I'm going to give you the Yankees.
And the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. I was going to put in the Astros for reasons, you know, dealing with the fact that they were cheating. Kind of proved to people that they're actually a good team. But I said, you know what? I want to get the Mets involved.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to throw in the Mets.
Come on. What are you doing?
Come on.
Look at this roster. I mean, how many times have we said they got to win now?
What are you doing?
You don't think there's any pressure on the Mets to win now?
Pressure, maybe, but no.
You could have no Stroman.
I feel like the Astros would be better.
I agree.
In that conversation.
I could not agree more.
We'll go Yankees, Dodgers, Astros.
You are playing with your heart here, pal.
No, the Mets have pressure to win. Are you nuts? What is this roster going to look like?
Nobody expects the Mets to win.
They expect to win.
They may expect to win.
You don't make a move. You don't add to the deadline.
35-25 are a wild card team and lose. No one's going to freak out. If the Yankees go 35-25, they're a wild card team and they lose. People would go nuts.
All right,
including me.
I'm just the host
of those people.
I'll give you Yankees, Dodgers, and Astros then.
Oh, now you're changing it.
I'm open for change. I'm very versatile.
This is something you started with Saturday with Cassie, and now you're changing it spur of the moment.
Well, when I'm sitting here looking at my notes and I have Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, and Astros, and I chose Mets instead of Astros, and you guys yelled at me, I just go to Astros.
I'm yelling at you, I just think you made a misstep.
I didn't make a misstep. Before the pandemic, and everything happened, We talked about it on this show. This was their year to win because the team would look completely different. You added Stroman at the deadline.
You lost your second best starting pitcher.
Yeah, and he's probably gone, period.
All right, listen, I don't want to argue. I just want the three teams, Yankees, Dodgers, and who?
Astros.
Okay. Chris, would you like to start or would you like me to start?
Yeah, I'm going to lead off, Dave. I am going to marry the Yankees in terms of pressure to win.
Marry them.
They got to get something done, Dave. I mean, you went out and you spent $324 million on Garrett Cole to be your ace of your staff. This is Tanaka's last year. This is Paxton's last year. Like, you got to be able to get something done. And even though it's a truncated season, it just feels like it sets up for you to be able to maximize your strength, which is the bullpen. So I'm all in for the Yankees to win this year. Marrying them. I'm going to cuddle the Dodgers.
Bombs,
if not now, win for the Dodgers. And I'm going to trash the Astros just because I don't like the Astros. I don't want to even throw them in the conversation.
I couldn't agree more. I think the most pressure's on the Yankees.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Well, I'll marry them. Dodgers are second, so I'll
Bombs
cuddle into them.
And hellacious seeds.
And the Astros have pressure, but not the same as those other two, so I'll trash them.
Garbage.
Couldn't agree with you more. Chris, I think you're dead on accurate with that.
Listen, I don't want to do this because I'm a team guy. I don't want to air anyone out. But when I was making the final decision for who to go with, the third team being the Mets or the Astros, there were potentially two people in studio that said Mets instead of Astros.
There's only two people in studio.
Well, then this, I'm not gonna,
right.
I don't want to cast any aspersions. I mean, you do right. The math.
Not casting anything.
You can figure it out.
Well, that's
snitching, little snitching in there. A little
yeah. That's not a great look for them. So here's the truth. You were hesitant. You were uncertain. You knew putting the Mets in that grouping was not appropriate, and you looked to others to help you decide what to do, and they led you astray. Is it fair to say that's what happened?
It's fair to say that I had some outside influence, yeah. Yeah, the conversation around the Mets probably changed when they lost Syndergaard, but before Syndergaard went down with the Tommy John, that was the conversation. It was pressure this year to win.
All right, well, he didn't go down to Tommy John at 11:41 this morning, so I don't know.
No, I understand that, but he's still going to be gone. He's still going to be gone. Stroman is going to be gone.
Okay. Let's move along.
If you're going to win, talent-wise, you're set up to win now.
Maybe they will.
I'm not saying if they will or if they won't. But the team is going to look a lot different after this season.
Yes.
Is the
Hopefully
point.
With a new owner.
All right. Adam Gase, Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien.
Gase, Patricia, O'Brien. Pressure. Now, this is this year pressure, right?
This is this year, yeah, pressure. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to marry, so most pressure, marry. I'm going to marry Adam Gase as having the most pressure here.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, there's a chance that if the Jets are bad this year, Adam Gase is never a head coach again in the NFL. And more than a chance, probably a pretty good chance of that. So I'll marry Adam Gase with the most pressure. I'll say Bill O'Brien is second.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
So I cuddle that.
It's a terrible call.
It's not a terrible
right?
call.
I'm
and
sitting
I'll tell
there
you why.
Thinking about
terrible.
This, right?
Terrible
right,
call.
Rick?
And I'll tell you why. Because I think it's already understood that Matt Patricia is not going to be there long term with Detroit. They're going to move on from him after this year. So I don't see that as a lot of pressure. I look at that as a foregone conclusion. Patricia, trash, Detroit.
Firmly,
no, now he's making up his own rules.
You can't twist the game that way, Dave.
I can do whatever I want.
Okay, all right. Even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I feel like clearly on this list of coaches with the most pressure to win, Matt Patricia's at the top of it.
Yeah, you'd marry
three
Patricia.
Games last year. They were talking about firing him this offseason. Like, this could be a situation
exactly.
where Matt
it's
Patricia
done.
Doesn't.
It is done. He's gone.
Well, I just feel like he's got the most pressure to win just because he's got the hottest seat coming into this season. I think his
I
seat
completely
is clearly
agree,
hotter than Adam Gase's.
Dave's so making up his own rules.
Yeah, so I'm going to marry
Matt. I don't see things as they are. I see things how they could be.
like
I'm
you
the,
could
I'm the Bobby
be,
Kennedy
like you
of this
could,
game, okay?
Like you could be an underwear model.
Well, I don't
but
see that
the reality
as,
is you're
as
not.
Realistic.
But you're
be
not.
A swim shirt model.
I could be a swim shirt model. Beautiful
yeah.
swim shirt model.
Yeah, so I'm marrying Matt Patricia with the
if
most pressure to win, and I'm
going to
cuddle
them.
Adam Gase.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
With pressure to win. And I'm going to trash Bill O'Brien with pressure to win. I mean, the owner let him trade DeAndre Hopkins for a negative contract in David Johnson. and a second round pick. I just, what are we doing? So I just, the owner is giving Bill O'Brien carte blanche, GM, head coach. It really isn't a whole lot of pressure for him, especially since he's won the division 4 out of the last 5 years.
Yeah, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. I was going to actually, instead of Bill O'Brien, I was going to bring an NBA into the NFL conversation, cross-pollinate. I was actually going to give you Gase, Patricia, and Brett Brown.
Oh, wow.
And see how that changed things.
Yeah, unprecedented. Yeah, I don't think we've ever crossed over.
Yeah. Oh, I was going
to
get
that
crazy.
That would have been a lot to handle.
Too much, maybe.
That gave Adam Gase a chance.
See, that again, you never know. All right, we'll do some GMs. You got Brody Van Wagenen. Mm-hmm. Again, remember, new ownership is coming. Dave Gettleman, Daryl Morey. Huh? Little NBA to the NFL.
I see what you've done here.
And Major League Baseball. That's Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA.
It's the trio. All right, go ahead, Chris.
I am going to say the most pressure is on Brody Van Wagenen. I just feel like with moves that he's made the last couple of years, some of them have been hard to explain. And if the team doesn't have success, if they don't get into the postseason this year with new ownership on the way, it's probably likely that he's going to be out. He's going to have to show and prove. He's got to give new management some reason to want to hang on to him. And the 2020 season, you know, with everything that's happened, if he's able to have success this year, I think that would give him more consideration. So I'm going to marry that. I'm going to say the GM that's under the second most pressure is, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's got to be Daryl Morey.
Bombs and fallacious.
I think Daryl Morey, with what he did with the small ball experiment with the Houston Rockets, making the commitment, trading away Clint Capella, and going with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and those guys being able to compete at a championship level with nobody on the court that's taller than 6'8", that's going to be tough to do. And we'll see what happens with the Houston Rockets in the last couple of weeks of the NBA regular season and on into the postseason. But I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him to be successful. And also keep in mind, you got to look at the backdrop of what he had going on coming into this season with everything that went on over there in China. A lot of pressure on Daryl Morey, so I'm going to cuddle him. I'm going to trash pressure on Gettleman.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, let me tag in here. And let me tell you that I think the one that has certainly a lot of pressure, but that if it goes poorly will still keep his job, is Daryl Morey. I don't see any way that Daryl Morey is relieved of his duties this offseason. So for that reason, I will trash pressure and Morey.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
And I now decide between Brody Van Wagenen and Dave Gettleman. But when you look at a new owner coming in to the mix here with the Mets, God knows what their thought is on Brody. So I'll agree with you, Chris, and I will marry Brody as far as the most pressure.
If it was socially
pressure.
Acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
And I still think there's quite a bit of pressure on Dave Gettleman. I think that the jury is still out, even though we all like him. I think the jury is still out somewhat on the quarterback. And I think that you have to make sure the secondary is better. And Bradbury's should be an upgrade, but there's some question marks around him. And I just think that the Giants have to be a better football team. And I think that falls at the feet of Dave Gettleman, not the coach this year. So I'll cuddle pressure with Dave Gettleman.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
All right, here we go, boys. The last cuddle, marry, trash for this beautiful. We'll find out at 12:30 if it's going to be beautiful Monday.
Don't you dare.
I'm teasing it. I just teased it.
I don't know. It felt like you were taking it over. You want to do the
no,
weather today?
No, I have no way. I'm all set with responsibilities. Yeah. All right. Championship pressure. LeBron James. Tom Brady. Drew Brees.
All right. I think it's my turn. I'll start here. I'll put Brady as the marry there.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because I don't know how much more there is.
That's another awful call.
Why would you stop commenting before I'm done?
It's horrendous.
It's not horrendous.
It's horrendous.
You don't think there's tremendous pressure on Brady?
Yeah, there's tremendous pressure, but the head coach of the New Orleans Saints accidentally said that he hopes this is Drew Brees' last year.
All right, why don't you do it then?
I'm the host. You're supposed to do it.
But I'm not allowed to.
I'm just pointing out that this is horrendous.
It's not horrendous. It's not horrendous at all. You had the Mets in mixed in with the Yankees and Dodgers. That's horrendous.
I feel like Will Ferrell doing the Jeopardy skit right now on SNL.
If you'd get out of my way for a minute.
And I'm talking to Turd
Ferguson.
And allow
me to do it. You know what? I'm done. Go ahead. I'm just going to give the weather.
You're like a bad Sean Connery right now. No, finish.
I'm trying.
Well, go. Continue.
I'll marry Tom Brady for pressure. I mean, I'm watching Get Up the other morning, and the panel, Tenenbaum and Orlovsky, say that if Tampa Bay doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's a failure for Tom Brady, which I don't agree with, but I still think the pressure is tremendous on Brady this season.
Okay. Speaking of Tenenbaum, by the way, did you see Tenenbaum drinking his smoothie out of the blender?
And then did you see the microphone didn't work right after that? And did you hear what Greeny said? He goes, I'm thinking something happened with the smoothie. I blame the smoothie for that. I'm marrying Brady pressure. I'm cuddling LeBron pressure.
And hellacious season.
And I'm trashing Breeze pressure. Because I don't think that Drew Breeze is a great quarterback by any stretch. So I don't expect big things from him. I understand the team is good, and I think they will be good, but I don't look at a ton of pressure on Breeze.
Well, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I am marrying pressure being on Drew Brees to compete at a championship level. We saw his backup, Teddy Bridgewater, go 5-0 when he had an opportunity to start last year. We all agree that the Saints have one of the most talented rosters top to bottom in the NFL. The only question is Drew Brees going to be able to play at a high enough level to get them to the big game? And keep in mind, the last couple of trips to the postseasons for the Saints, they ended because Drew Brees made mistakes. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Drew Brees. And guys, let's consider this. This is also going to be Drew Brees' last year. Sean Payton said that earlier in the offseason. So, I mean, I think there's pressure on him to win. I'm going to cuddle pressure on Tom Brady
Bombs
to win.
And hellacious seeds.
And my logic is simple. It's we want to know who's more responsible for the two decades of success up in New England. Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Well, I guess we get a chance to see the real life experiment and see how one fares without the other. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure for Brady, especially with the weapons that he has to work with in Tampa. And I'm going to trash pressure on LeBron to win, not because there's not any pressure, but just because I think clearly he's third on this list when you look at the other two guys. He's always going to be the second best player in the NBA's history. So, I mean, I don't know how much pressure is on it.
And there you go, boys. Although Dave was very average, to say the very least, that was a
Stop
Monday
it.
Edition
Stop
of CMT.
All right, question
trash.
For you quickly, Rick. Don't wax poetic about it. Just answer it. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm going to offer you Tampa Bay and New England in the Super Bowl. You take it?
No.
You know, you wouldn't want any.
No, I don't want to see New England in the Super Bowl again. Okay. Are you nuts?
Well, I think there's something enticing about that matchup, though.
Yeah, it's enticing, but on a Monday, the day after Cam Newton signs with the Patriots, that is not something I'm... Are you trying to make me just
I'm asking a question.
No, you're not asking. You're poking
very
at me.
Sensitive. You are unbelievably very sensitive.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.